Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is episode 32 of Nerd Nuptial. I think this is our first two-parter in a sorts.
I think so.
You know?
Yeah, I think so.
This one, I mean, we've House of Cards was kind of like a two-parter where we talked about, I don't know, what we liked about House of Cards, like seasons 1 through 3. And then we kind of moved on in next week to season 4.
Right.
So I guess that could be
construed as a two-parter.
Something like that. Because what we're talking about this week is we are talking about our favorite sitcoms. Because last week we talked about sitcoms then and now and what makes a good sitcoms. And we kind of turned
some tropes.
Yeah. We talked about story tropes and things like that. So it was We got a lot of positive reaction from you guys. You guys liked the episode, and you started talking about some of your favorite episodes and shows. And so we thought, yeah, we'll do it too. But before we get into that, one thing we want to talk about is reviews. We got even more reviews.
Woo! Yay!
I love doing this, and I love that we get to do this almost every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that these were coming in because we got the ratings were coming in. And so we want to honor those people because we are people of our word. And we'd like to talk about Sarah Del Rey 22. She says that we're an adorable duo and that we make you feel right at home as we discuss our love for movies and nerd-related items.
That's really nice.
And then we all we also have Meg Radcliffe 13. Sounds familiar. just talking about that. She's happy that she gets to listen to us, and she just calls us geeky and entertaining. And we also have KT Henning 91, and this is by far his favorite nerdy podcast. So we want to thank you guys for everything that you've done for us and writing us reviews. And if you guys are listening to our podcast right now and you haven't written us a review, you know what to do. You can write us any review that you want, but if you write us a 5-star review, we will mention you on the show.
Yes, and thank you to those who did.
So before we get into our main topic, there is something that I want to talk about. It's kind of related.
Yeah.
It's a little related. Yeah. One of our favorite comedians, one of our favorite stand-ups, is Tig Notaro.
Yeah, she's hilarious. Very dark humor, which we really like, and she finds a light of these really horrible situations that have happened to her. So we enjoyed her, and we saw that she was coming out with a new show on Amazon Prime.
That's right, on Amazon Prime called One Mississippi. And it was, I really like Amazon's model. It's, I don't think it's perfect yet, but I really enjoy it because I feel like what they do is they have, pilots where they will submit, they will show you the pilots before the season comes out. And some of them will get picked up, some of them won't. And a lot of consideration comes into play with how many people have watched them, what reviews are said about them,
right,
and what kind of ratings they get. And I think it's a really interesting way to do it because that's never been done before.
Yeah, you feel much more a part of the process because you can actually be, I don't know, influential in whether that show makes it or not.
Absolutely. And it's, I'm sure that there are some shows out there where they're just like, no, you're getting a full season order.
Sure. But
I'm sure that they,
I wouldn't be surprised if hers might have been that type of situation just because of her name.
I think so. I think Tig got a season order, but it was really wasn't a full season order. It was only 6 episodes.
That's true.
Which is extremely low, but I feel like that's the new half season where a half season, like mid season replacement was 13 episodes. Like if you had a half order, that'd be 13 episodes. Now a half order is 6 episodes.
Right.
But with Tig Notaro, like if you don't know anything about Tig Notaro, she has really slow delivery, very deliberate, very dry humor, but really engaging. And you're just kind of along for the ride. In the span of 4 months, she contracted cancer. she contracted a stomach disease called C. diff. I don't know if it's a stomach disease or it's a digestive disease or irritable bowel, something like that. But it's worse than irritable bowel. Like, it could kill you.
You can die from it,
You can die from it. She went through a horrible breakup, and her mother died of a freak accident.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened all in the span of 4 months. I feel like I'm... Oh, and she got a double mastectomy after she contracted breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
All within 4 months.
Yeah.
That is insane of one individual going through all of that in such a short amount of time. But she was able and is able to... find the humor in it, where she makes jokes about it in order to get through the pain, and so we get to go along for the ride and laugh with her, not at her.
Right.
Not at her pain, but at her catharsis. And she's kind of all over the place right now. Like, there was a documentary done about her I think it's just called TIG.
I think it was on HBO.
Yeah. And then there was a special. She had a 1-hour special on HBO where she actually the last 20 minutes of the show, she did the show without her shirt on, and so you saw her scars.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also had another kind of a documentary about her going from location to location, performing in people's homes and in their garages and things like that. I think it's called Knock Knock, It's TIG.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have One Mississippi. Now, how would you describe the pilot?
Oh, it was hilarious. Like, we were laughing out loud. It was very dark. The humor was very dark. It was actually about her mother dying.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, her delivery on certain parts were it's just so TIG and so funny. And it was kind of neat I was like, oh, great. We're actually kind of seeing a, you know, comedic version of what her life was like at that time. You know, maybe like definitely like an amplified version.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really awesome and really fun.
Yeah. So the story is that she goes home, like, she lives in LA,
mm-hmm.
and she has a radio show. So she's a DJ of sorts, not a stand up in this reality.
Right.
And her mother tripped and hit her head, and so she's in a coma. And so she's going home back to Mississippi to take her off of life support.
Mm-hmm.
And she passes, and it's all about her dealing with that and reconnecting with her brother and her stepfather. And her stepfather is pretty robotic, mm-hmm. you know, like, doesn't really show emotion too terribly much. And her girlfriend comes to see her in Mississippi, and it's all just about her trying to make sense of her mother's death and trying to, I don't know, just get through things, just go through the grieving process while being sick and while getting over her mastectomy and, you know, all of these things mm-hmm. happening at once. And it's weird that when you say that kind of storyline, you don't think, oh, that's hilarious.
Right, right. And I'm sure certain people wouldn't necessarily find it funny, because you have to kind of know that TIG makes fun of the situation
mm-hmm.
to kind of get into it. And also you have to like that dark sense of humor and the dry delivery to appreciate it. But at the same time, it was so funny.
It was one of the best pilots I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was solid. It was a solid 26 minutes, I think that's what it was. It was a solid 26 minutes. And I mean, there were times when, like, I was grabbing you and shaking you because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, I'm not going to ruin any of the jokes for you, but it was side-splitting. And just like one of her jokes, just to give you a sense of her humor, one of her jokes in some of her stand-up specials is she says, I contracted breast cancer and I had a double mastectomy. And she said, she's like, I was always small-chested, but I feel like maybe my breasts overheard me because I constantly made fun of how I was small-chested. And then one day they got together and said, you know what? We're sick of this. Let's kill her.
Yeah.
And so that
right,
is
the that's
type
the type of
humor.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure some people would be like, oh, that's really weird. That's kind of that's way too dark for me. Mm-hmm. But it works. And But the rest of the season, because we were so excited that it's coming out, and it came out on Thursday or Friday?
Friday. It came out Friday. On mm-hmm. September the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And because we watched the pilot a couple weeks before that.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it was out for a while. I don't know how we missed it. And then they said it was kind of like how they dropped the entire season like Netflix does, except Netflix doesn't give you the pilot first. Amazon does. Right. And then it dropped on the 9th, and we're like, oh, wow, it's only 6 episodes. Okay, well, you know, less than a half an hour each. That's less than 3 hours.
Right.
We could, you know, we can do this in one night. And so we watched all of them in one night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we felt like episodes 2 through 6 did not reflect what the pilot did at all.
No. I feel like the pilot promised us a certain type of show, and 2 through 6 did not deliver what they promised.
Yeah, it was much more about the catharsis of dealing with the death and mm-hmm. these moments of like trying to get over. I wouldn't say it was a drama, but it definitely felt more along those lines than a comedy.
I don't know. I think I would call it a drama. It was almost a straight drama. But the thing is that with the first episode, it was dark humor.
Right.
And so it was a drama, but mixed in with dark humor because you dealt with these heavy-hitting concepts. But episodes 2 through 6, it was almost straight drama with just a few quips here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But then they interjected these weird
flash
but like it was almost like a Family Guy interstitial.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say,
of like a what the person is thinking or a what if, and they were so larger than life, so out there, and so, you know, and so crazy that it felt like it betrayed the tone of what it was doing. Like where in the pilot, you know, like just to describe one moment, I'll try not to ruin it for you, but they're there like they just unplugged their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're there listening to her basically suffocate. And then the stepfather gets up and says, okay, well, it's 5 o'clock. I got to go feed the cat.
Bonkers.
And then the brother gets up and says, like, okay, well, I'll drive you. I'll take you too. And they said, like, Tigger, you're going to be okay? And she's just completely frustrated that they're leaving. She's like, are you sure not all three of us need to go feed Bonkers? And the way that she delivered it, it was just so hysterical because you have this horrible situation.
Right.
But then she's able to make a joke because of how ridiculous these people are acting. But in episodes 2 through 6, the humor was interjected. It wasn't a part of the situation. It was like a Family Guy-esque side story that they thought if they threw it, it was like they threw it up against like a dartboard and hoping it would stick and hoping you would laugh in the middle of this situation. You
right. Know, yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I completely agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like they kind of used their best material in the pilot. Yes. And then it kind of just went downhill. And also, to only have that many episodes, and then it kind of felt like we were wasting time. A lot of the time, it felt like we weren't really getting to where we needed to go, and we were just kind of filling space at some times. Did you feel like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there was...
Which it doesn't seem like you'd need to with 6 episodes.
Yeah, I feel like they could have... I feel like part of it could have been like 1 episode per day that she was there.
Yeah.
But apparently she was there for over 6 weeks. And you did not feel the passage of time whatsoever. And it wasn't just because we watched it all in one night. Like, it was just the same setup every single day where she'd get up, do her thing, come back home, have dinner. And it was just that over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it was so sad because I felt like Tig and her now wife, who helped create the show with her, they had a fantastic idea. They had a great idea that they said, like, let's fictionalize what happened to Tig and let's make it a dark comedy, have all of these crazy moments that no one would believe, but then find the humor in the situation like you did in real life. And so they packed all of that into the pilot to impress Amazon Studios. And I feel like because they got the season order, they're almost like, oh, crap, what do we do now?
Yeah, it was almost like, I don't know whether they didn't have enough material to go for that long. You know, it kind of felt like that, where it was like, okay, this was the major plot point that we want to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we stretch that? Like the death of the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like even the way that the season ends, I'm not going to spoil it, but it just kind of felt like, okay, I don't know what you would do in season two. Yeah.
Well, they set up a lot for things to happen in season two.
Yeah, but if you're going from that angle, that dark comedy angle, do we have enough material? Like, didn't we kind of cover all that in the first few little bit, you know? I don't know.
That's the thing, is that, like, I feel like all the dark comedy was in the pilot.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then we just dealt with horrible things from season two from episode two to episode six, where, yeah, there were certain times when Tig was still funny because Tig is Tig.
Right.
Like, she would still have quips here and there, but the situations weren't really that funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when they were trying so hard to be outrageous, it was just off-putting.
Yeah, it was. And it felt like it was that supposed to be in the show.
Yes. There was so much of it that felt like it was an insert after the fact, where they're mm-hmm. like, oh, wow, this isn't funny.
Yeah.
Let's throw in a scene.
Right. Like a Family Guy.
Like episode. A Family Guy thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, which was disappointing, because we really wanted it to be good, and we love her as a comedian so much. And, you know, I want to go back and watch the pilot again, just because that's where all the humor was.
The pilot is so, yeah, it's just, seriously, guys, you know, like, I know we're reviewing One Mississippi, and we're not we're not giving it a good rating, because I don't think it deserves a good rating.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you guys should watch the pilot.
Yeah, even if you don't watch the rest. Yeah. I actually probably wouldn't recommend watching the rest,
because it is kind of its own self-contained story in the mm-hmm. pilot. Like, yeah, there's more to it. You know that there's more to it, because you are they want a season. But at the same time, you could really rationalize it in your own head, saying like, okay, that's the beginning and end of the story.
That's true.
And even at the end of season one, it ends in a way and set up certain storylines that I know has not happened to her.
True. True.
Well, actually, there's the courtship of her now wife, which I guess they did set that up, and that did the way that they set it up did actually happen to her. But I can't really say anything else without spoiling it.
Right.
But so it makes me wonder where they're going to go. I feel like these
characters... That's what I was saying. It was like, where do you go from here? You have to make up either crazy situations that happen or darker things that happen, if that's where you're going with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like their intention, like you said, was to have a dark comedy, but then it didn't actually pan out that way.
And I guess that makes me think of another show. And I think let's go ahead and use this as a segue to go into talk about what our main topic is. And that's our favorite sitcoms, or sitcoms that mean something to us. And this is more specific than what we talked about last week. But Christopher Titus. His show Titus,
yeah.
Which only got 3 seasons. And they were freaking robbed, because that's a great show, a genius show. And he's a stand-up. He's a very good stand-up. He has a lot of great specials. And he had a horrible childhood, a horrible life. His father was married 6 times. His mother was literally insane, as in she was in a psychiatric ward for a big portion of his life, actually killed someone, and was a manic depressive schizophrenic. He had an abusive, he was in an abusive relationship, as in a physically abusive relationship, where she hurt him and hit him. And just like thing after thing after thing that you hear about his life, you're just like, wow, how are you still functioning after all these things?
Yeah, just like Tig. How are you still functioning?
But what he did was he put all of that pain into his comedy specials as some sort of catharsis, as some sort of healing technique. And then he was able to pitch that into a sitcom. And so you're dealing with these heavy concepts, but then you're laughing at it because he presents it in a way that makes you laugh. And so when I was thinking about this new show, I thought it was going to be like a single camera version of Titus. And everyone should check out Titus, because I love that show. But that was one of my favorites growing up. It was on Fox. And when you think favorite sitcoms for the girl, what pops into your head?
Arrested Development.
That's the first thing on your that's at the top of your list.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if it was being number one, but I think it's definitely probably in the top five. And we discovered that one together. I think mm-hmm. a friend recommended it, and we...
Whoa, what did I say?
You recommended it to me.
Yes, I was going to say, we did not discover this together.
No, but a friend recommended it to you.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I meant. Jeez. Okay.
I just wanted to give credit where credit is due.
No, you recommended it to me, and we started watching some episodes together. And at that point, we were living apart because I think it was either during the summer, during college, where you were at home and I was at my home, or... Mm-hmm.
No, it was during the summer. Okay. It was during the summer, yeah. Because I was back, I was living with my parents because it was during college time.
And right. You live with your parents.
You live with your parents during the summer. And yeah. So were you. And so we were 2.5 hours, 3 hours away.
Yeah. And so it was really cute because... So you had the seasons, mm-hmm. and you had all of them, because by that point it had been off the air, and we discovered it after the fact.
Well after, mm-hmm. yeah.
And I mentioned to my dad that I really wanted to watch this with you, but obviously I couldn't because he didn't have them. And he went out and bought me all three seasons so that we could watch them together. Long distance. So that's when we were able to like play them at the same time and then mm-hmm. talk on the phone and watch them together.
Completely forgotten that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Completely forgotten that. I have distinct memories of like what happened was is that like how I like when my buddy, I think it was Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My buddy Ben, he said, he's like, you gotta watch this show. The writing is great. The characters are fantastic. The direction, this like all the little jokes that just keep coming back. It's genius. And I was a member of, it was when Blockbuster was trying to compete with Netflix. And this was before Netflix Instant Watch. This was when Netflix was just straight DVDs.
In the mail. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just in the mail. And so Blockbuster tried to compete and did the whole mail thing too. But one thing that kind of gave them an edge above Netflix during the time was that you could take those, the when you wanted to return, you could return your movies a couple different ways. You could just put them right smack dab in the mail again.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they received them, they'd send you new ones. Or you could take them to a physical store and get free rentals for each one you turned in, but they would still send you new ones from the mail.
Oh, I'm very aware of Blockbuster's policy.
Oh, I know you do. I'm talking about it to the audience. Because some of our listeners are probably too young to know what Blockbuster is.
Well, I remember when I worked at Blockbuster, there were certain people that would come in like multiple times a day. And
I was that guy.
I know you were that guy. This was before I knew you, of course, but like... They would come in multiple times a day with multiple DVDs, and you knew that all they were doing was ripping them on their computers.
I can neither confirm nor deny that happened with me.
It was just like, yeah, I've seen you way too many times today, or way too many times within the past 2 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a real perk because mm-hmm. you could go to the store and get them, or you could just do it through the mail.
And yeah, and that's the thing is like as soon as they scanned the mailer,
mm-hmm.
they would ship it to you from the main office or from their distribution center.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a couple of months, they realized that people like me were consuming it like crazy,
right.
and getting all these free rentals. So they changed their policy,
mm-hmm.
which is bullcrap. they're not around anymore. but they changed their policy to the point where, oh, well, you can get a free rental, but you're not going to get new mailers until you return the free rental.
Yeah.
And so it added more and more time.
Right.
But anyway, the reason for the story is because I just, that's how I consumed Arrested Development, is that I would order the first couple of discs through the mailers, and then I would return them and get the other ones from the store. And then
and then
delete the ones that I got from the store off of my queue online so that they wouldn't send me duplicates. And I just repeated that process back and forth until I had all the discs and watched all the episodes.
Right.
And I consumed them. Mm-hmm. I just, as soon as I got them, I watched them. And I was just in love with the show. And I called you up and I said, baby, you just go out and buy it.
Right.
You gotta go out. Yeah. Just buy it. Do not even, like, don't rent it. Don't go to Family Video.
I think you showed it to me before I actually did buy it.
Did I?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
Okay.
But I must not have trusted you. But yeah, I mean, I watched those so much that I, for a while there, I think I had like all the episodes to memory. Mm-hmm. And the awesome part about that show is that it's such a great audio show where you could just listen to the show and not even watch it. And the writing is so good that it is still hilarious and you don't even need to see the actors' faces. Now, they're amazing. Yeah. They're amazing, you know, faces when you do see it, but that's how well written it is.
Yeah, it's very much written for the ear. Mm-hmm. And because they have a narrator.
Yeah.
That helps a lot. So it's almost like you're listening to an audiobook.
It's true. And we actually, in the car, we would listen to episodes. Like yes. On long car trips and stuff like that.
That's how nerdy we are. Yeah. Is that I created
audiobooks of Arrested Development.
I would rip the DVDs and just rip the audio. And then I would turn them into MP3s, but I would still catalog them like normal episodes. And I put them on your iPod. I put them on mine. Mm-hmm. And so if we were working out or going for a run,
yep,
or just walking around the house or driving,
yeah,
we could listen to the episode. Or if we wanted to fall asleep to them, we could do that. And it was just I still have them. I still have, yep, the audio ripped.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's awesome.
Every once in a while, I'll pop them in. And it's just such a well-written show. I have distinct memories of being on the phone in bed, calling you up, and we weren't even listening to them or watching them. We were just talking about the episodes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, that summer was very much the Arrested Development
summer.
It's true.
It's so true. Yeah. Definitely defined by that show. Yeah.
And I think that's one really cool thing about pop culture in general,
mm-hmm,
you know, like whether it's movies or TV, sitcoms, dramas, whatever it is that when you find material that is so, so genuine and so great and unabashedly original, you connect with it. And when you can find someone who likes it as much as you do, you connect with that person on a different level.
Yeah. Well, and you feel like you have that connection, like a deeper connection.
Right. And that's why we go to conventions.
Sure.
You know, and that's why we do podcasts. And this is why we're so invested in all this fictional material.
Right.
It's because we connect with others. And that's why we do this show. And because we connected with each other on our nerdy level. And we want to connect with you guys who are listening,
yeah,
on a nerdy level.
Absolutely. We don't talk about the fourth season because it's trash.
It's so bad. We even gave it another shot. We watched it a second time. And it's just
terrible.
It's horrible.
So
it's,
yeah,
just bad.
Well, should we talk about more docu-dramas? Or docu-comedies or whatever?
Mockumentaries. Is it mockumentaries?
I think it is mockumentaries. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess we could go into it. One show we've talked about, quite a bit, was Parks and Rec.
Yeah, we love Parks and Rec.
And we've told you guys some stories about Parks and Rec and, mm-hmm, how we discovered that. And I just gave a friend of the show and also fellow co-host, John Mills, has never seen Parks and Rec.
What?
So he talked to me about it a little bit. And I gave him some advice that I'd want to give you guys. If you have not watched Parks and Rec, do it.
Yes.
But watch the first episode. And then skip to the second season.
Yeah, and then if you enjoy it, go back later and you can watch the first season.
Yeah.
But it's not the same show.
It's not the same show. Like, what happened was, and maybe this is what will happen with Tig.
Maybe.
Because the first season of Parks and Rec was only 6 episodes.
That's true.
And the pilot was great, but the other episodes were just, mm-hmm, trash. So maybe that's what they can do with the second season. Because what happened with Parks and Rec is that they tried to be an Office
knockoff,
mm-hmm, yeah, and they just weren't funny, they weren't good episodes, and so a lot of people turned it off. They're just like, okay, well, this show's not gonna last. But in the second season, they recognized that they needed to be their own show,
right? Find their own voice.
And so they did, they found their own voice, and it's hysterical right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've ever watched Parks and Rec season one and you're like, wow, this is not for me, go back, try second, yeah, season. Go to the second season. It's worth it.
Yeah. And we're essentially Leslie and Ben.
I think out of everyone who's ever been on TV,
yeah,
if there's ever been a couple that we have been more like or related to, it is definitely Leslie and Ben.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's in our show intro, too.
Yeah, it's in our show intro. Yeah, the people that you hear at the beginning who says, I love you and I like you, and then the man says, I love you and I like you.
Mm-hmm.
That's Leslie and Ben from Parks and Rec.
Right.
And it's
it's really funny because my best friend and I, she's basically Anne, mm-hmm. and I'm Leslie. And so, like, that moment where they say goodbye in the car.
I had that moment.
Like, and she recognized it, too, and, like, mm-hmm. called me up and was like, you realize that this was, like,
in tears.
Yeah, in tears. Like, this is the moment we had. Yeah. So I relate heavily to that show. Yeah. I love that show. Like,
Leslie is driven and organized and passionate mm-hmm. and all things that all words that I would use to describe you.
Yeah.
And Ben is nerdy and maybe a little too serious about himself and loves Star Trek and writes fan fiction and everything
right,
like
right.
that.
Right, yeah. It's awesome. Yeah.
But good at his job. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so give it a chance.
Give it a chance.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about The Office quite a bit too. Yeah. I kind of feel that way about the first season of The Office as well. I feel like it doesn't really get, I don't really like it until season two. Season right. one is a little too awkward.
Season one is basically the UK show.
Yeah. It's almost like they were trying too hard to be the UK show.
You devastated Lee.
I know.
When you said that you didn't like the UK show. He brought it up today when we recorded the Civil War commentary.
Seriously?
Yes. He's like, oh, I can't believe it. He's like, I'm going to have a few choice words with the girl when I talk with her.
That's so funny.
So you broke his heart.
I know. I'm sorry.
His Scottish
heart. I do that.
I'm just imagining this little heart wearing a kilt and just falls over.
I don't know. I haven't given it a shot in a really long time. I don't know.
I can't. You don't want to watch it. And so I don't feel like I've only watched it once. Season one.
I probably only watched it once as well. So we probably should give it another shot. Just for Lee.
Yeah. And that's not even the UK show. Like, that's not even.
True.
Yeah. So we're not really doing it for Lee.
It's true.
But yeah, it was like I first watched it. I didn't watch The Office for a long time. And it was kind of that. Like, even though you were like, no, it's a great, it's an amazing show, it was kind of like, eh, that's your thing, that's your thing. Because what happened was when I was at film school in Los Angeles, I was with a bunch of guys, and we're like, we didn't really have anything to do that day, and it was way too hot to go outside. And so somebody's like, hey, I got the first season of The Office, let's just watch this. And so we watched it all straight through, and I was like, wow, I do not like this show. Like,
you didn't like Michael Scott, I think
no,
that's the main thing.
No, I thought if I didn't like the lead, then I probably wasn't going to like the show, because it was so awkward. Like, I was burying my face.
You do that even when we watch certain episodes now. Mm-hmm. You can't take his super awkward moments.
That's the only show that I do that with.
Yeah.
Where I bury my face.
Yeah.
Because I get embarrassed for what's happening
Michael
on
Scott.
Screen.
But I love that show so much. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good show. And it's surprisingly, even though the season where Michael Scott leaves is horrible after that, it kind of picks up towards the end of the show.
Yeah, it does. It's not quite the same.
No.
But I think that they did a really good job with the ensemble they still kept. I think it still was a good show. There was maybe a season in between there where they were trying to figure out who the boss was, which was just a mess. But then once they kind of figured that out, it was much better.
Yeah. And of course, there's the Jim and Pam
yeah,
relationship,
you,
which
I
is
love
just
that
all throughout our... That's permeated our culture, Jim and Pam.
Oh, yeah.
When you say Jim and Pam, everybody knows who you're talking about.
Yeah.
They don't think you're talking about, like, friends in your life who you know.
No.
They know you're talking about The Office.
It's true, yeah. Our favorite episodes are definitely the baby, the delivery episodes.
Part one and two.
Part one and two. And the dinner party.
Yes.
I could watch the dinner party episode every day.
Yes. And for those of you who are fans of the show, you know exactly what episode we're
yes.
talking about.
Yes.
I remember somebody tried to tell me that they hated that episode.
Oh my gosh,
and I was like, wow, we're not friends.
No.
Like,
this is so amazing.
Like, that's when it's awkward funny.
Oh, yeah. No, it was amazing.
What other mockumentaries are out there? I guess Modern Family would be one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched that for a little bit. And then it kind of petered out.
More than a little bit. We watched it for 5 seasons.
That's true. We gave it.
Didn't
that's
we?
That's a solid. I think we
four
did.
Four or five seasons.
Four or five seasons.
We own seasons 1 through 3.
Yeah, which we consider the best.
Yeah, and we're just like, okay, we're fine with just mm-hmm. owning those. I think we watched season 4 and we're like, eh, that's okay. It was an okay season. And then we didn't make it through all of season 5.
No, not at all. Yeah. I really enjoyed that show, mm-hmm. but I feel like it kind of should have, I feel like it had its time.
Yes.
And then it kind of just started trying too hard.
It's still on the air, though.
I know.
People seem to like
it. I know.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't fault it too much, but I mean, I think the characters definitely made that show.
Definitely.
Like, it was, you know, it was just like every other sitcom, you know, like, oh my God, the mother-in-law is coming to visit. Things go crazy.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, it was filled with tropes. But the thing is, these characters were so much fun and different. And
Like Gloria,
Cam, who had no acting experience before that.
Yeah.
Which is like Sofia Vergara, you know, had no acting experience before that. And it was just so funny to think that she was a highlight of the show.
Oh, yeah. Her facial expressions and her deliveries, so great.
Like, so over the top and so crazy. And you know, you had the mother and father and the three kids and the, you know, in the stereotypical white picket fence house. But then, you know, they realize that all these characters are insane. And,
right.
And then you have the gay couple on TV, which, you know, like, when that first came out, was not as
popular
as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to say it was ahead of its time, but it was kind of on that cusp of this is becoming more and more
mainstream.
Mainstream. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find the right word for it. And of course, Cam.
Yeah, you know, like, he's one of our favorites.
Larger than life. And, you know, like that show wins Emmys for a reason.
Yeah.
And a lot of those actors have gotten Emmys for their performances, and they deserve them. But like you said, the show...
I think it petered out a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It got a little tired. We're like, oh, okay, we're doing this again.
But maybe we will go back later on when it's off the air and watch them all and be like, oh, no, we were totally wrong.
Yeah, you know what?
I've done that with shows before.
I would totally be willing to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would absolutely be willing to kind of go back, like find the seasons and go back and watch them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, you know what? That sounds kind of nice. I can't think of any other mockumentaries right now.
That we like.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I can't think of any.
Well, let's go ahead and move on to some of our others that are favorites. One that we talked about a little bit was That 70s Show.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be at the top of the list,
you think? It's one of them. Yeah, I think so.
You can't make a top one?
No, I can't make a top one.
No, I can't either.
No, I can't. Yeah. I can't decide because I like too many of these shows.
But yeah, That 70s Show came out in... 98, 99, something like that.
A long time ago.
That is a long time ago.
Yeah. What did you say to me the other day? It was like, we're closer, we're further away.
There was something about, okay, so like, I can't remember who said this to me, but I read this online where there was one anniversary that 70s Show reached and that said, we are now farther away from when that 70s Show first aired from when it aired to when it was set in the 70s.
Yeah, which is pretty weird if you think about that.
And I don't think that's quite right because it takes place in 77 and it aired in 99.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's over 20 years and we're in 2016 and that's less than 20 years.
Yeah.
So
maybe not.
Oh, well, maybe the end.
Maybe.
Like, maybe where it ended in 1980. Even then. Yeah, I don't know. Like, okay. I don't know. So, something around that. Like, I'm sure maybe I'm doing the math wrong. But anyway, it's getting close. And it is interesting to think about that. Think it of is, it that way. Yeah. Yeah.
But I love those characters. Especially the first. That show had a pretty good longevity.
It had 8 seasons.
Yeah.
And.
Wouldn't you say we enjoyed probably.
5.
1 through 5 were the best.
1 through 5 are great.
Yeah.
But 6 and 7, you're just like, wow, these are they don't know what to do with their characters.
Well, in 8, we barely even watch.
8 was just garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for obvious reasons, I mean, Topher's gone.
Right.
And he's the lead.
Right.
He's the lead. And he's gone.
And yet all the kids are still hanging out at his house. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Instead of risking anything, because that's the thing with sitcoms today, is that they don't want to take risks because they just want to churn out the same old thing every single week because people want to be safe. People want to. It's like it is like sitcoms of today are the food chains of entertainment where. Like, you go to Subway when you travel because you know what you're going to get.
At least we do.
We're so unashamed. Safe. There is no judgment. on
yeah, we're food. The people that don't go to local yeah. places because we don't want to get sick.
Yeah. It's not my point. But like when you translate that into entertainment, you know, people, they get home, and I can't blame anybody for this. I can't blame anybody for this yeah. whatsoever. But they come home and they don't want to be challenged. They don't want to think. They just want to turn on their TV and turn their brain off because they had a hard day. Mm-hmm. And they're worried about their mortgage. And so they want to laugh at somebody who, you know, like whose mother-in-law is coming into town. Mm-hmm. And so, but I feel like back in the day, like in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, is that they would switch things up. They would experiment with formats. They would tackle challenging subjects. They would tackle, you know, like heavy hitting stuff where sometimes it would burgeon on that dark comedy, but now they don't really want to do that. And I feel like that 70s show was a victim of that, where they're like, okay, it's 77. They're going to graduate high school soon. They did it where like a one year would be two seasons, mm-hmm. even though they celebrated way more holidays than, yeah, they than did. That. That's what they kind of rationalized it with. And so they're like, okay, the kids are going to go away off to college soon. They're going to go start their own lives. How can we curb that growth?
Right.
That is
keep this dynamic the same.
Yeah. Instead of figuring out something new and letting these kids evolve and maybe changing the format of your show or just experimenting with a new location or figuring something out, they ask themselves, how can we stop this from happening?
Right.
Not let's how can we embrace it? How can we stop it? And so they gave Red a heart attack that forced Eric to stay home and work mm-hmm. and not go to college. And then for some reason, Donna didn't go to college.
Right.
And then Hyde, of course, was never going to go to college. So they're still right. in town and they're
yeah,
not doing
they're
anything.
All there.
It's just
no one progressed.
Left.
No one had anything going on.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just, and that's, you know, we talked about this last week. That's one of the reasons why Topher left, because he's like, there's nothing going on with my character.
Yeah. Season mm-hmm. 6, 7, and 8, there was nothing. Well, I mean, 6 and 7, there was nothing going on with the character.
Right. So why would you be in that stagnant state as a character? And you've been playing it for that long, mm-hmm. you know, you're done.
And yeah. And that's the thing, is that when your main character is leaving and the show is clearly being stagnant and you don't know what to do with your characters, maybe just close up shop.
Right.
And I know it's a money-making machine. You know, like it was still getting good ratings, not as good as it used to, but it was still making money. Advertisers still wanted to advertise. Mm-hmm. And so obviously people are going to do what
right.
makes money. But that makes me want to talk about another show that we love, Home Improvement, where they wanted Tim Allen to go for another season. I can't remember how many seasons they were. I think they went 7 seasons.
Yeah, it was quite a bit.
Or maybe even 8. I can't remember. But they wanted him to go for an extra season. They said, we will offer you more money than God if you go for another season. And Tim Allen said, no. He said, the integrity of the show is at stake. He's like, I am proud of the work that we've done. And if we go another season, it won't be as good.
Yeah.
I have so much respect for that.
Yeah, I'm surprised, because you know, you feel like actors today, or, you know, even back then, they would just be like, okay, I'll take the money.
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing this forever. It's not hard. I'll do it. But to think about the greater good of the show, I think takes a lot.
It takes a lot. And also, I mean, it also helps if you have financial stability.
That's true.
Which I'm sure he does and right. did. But at the same time, it's...
Wouldn't it be better to go out on top?
Right. Yes, exactly.
Than to like think about, you know, like when we talk about That 70s Show, we have it like a caveat of saying, yeah, we really enjoyed these seasons, but then this happened afterwards. Whereas if you go out on top, then you don't even have that. You're like, that was a great show, beginning to end.
And even at the end of season 7, if they finished That 70s Show, they could have done, and they knew that they were going to end, they could have done it in a way where... They showed us that the kids were going to progress, mm-hmm. where maybe Eric and Donna did get to back together and we're going to go to school.
Right.
We're going to do this. But even in season 8, it was all nebulous on what was going to happen.
Right. It's true. Yeah.
But Home Improvement, we were raised on Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I love this show.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts of it was the behind the scenes of making the show. Aspect of it. Yeah, Tool Time. Yeah. I think that was just such a great idea mm-hmm. as like a subplot to the family dynamic.
Right.
I thought it was really fun.
As I said, we were both raised on this show, and I, you know, like everybody knows Home Improvement, everybody knows Tool Time, everybody knows. I went on a kick, and I just ordered, like, I was like, you know what? I want to watch these again.
That's true.
And so I just ordered like the first four seasons on DVD, and then we just rifled through them super fast, and I just kept ordering the seasons. And I think it got to a point where you're like, I don't remember the later seasons being really good. So how about, Tristan, you stop ordering the seasons?
Yeah, it's true.
And I've always been, the completist in me is just like, well, I need to get the other seasons.
Well, maybe we will.
Maybe.
Yeah, but we've enjoyed, I like the fact that we're kind of have a collection of shows that we grew up with. Because then that we can watch them with our kids and stuff like that. And kind of know that they're, I don't know, in a way safe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because we've been kind of building up our collection, our movie collection and TV collection, because I think most TV today is just absolutely abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to sitcoms and comedy and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we're definitely in a golden age and a renaissance of drama.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't show your kids Breaking Bad.
Right.
Or House of Cards.
Right.
Or Walking Dead. But you can show them Home Improvement. You can show them Sabrina the Teenage Witch. You can show them Boy Meets World.
Right.
You can show them all these cool shows that we were raised on that is safe for kids. But because now if you turn on a sitcom, all you're going to get is dick jokes. And I don't want my little girl to put on the TV and just get this disgusting humor like Two Broke Girls, which is just god-awful humor. And so, yeah, we've been kind of building up our collection.
Yeah, and we also don't really operate with live TV. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's either Netflix, Amazon Prime, or Vudu. You know, we have our movie collections on Vudu and or, like, physical. So I would much rather put in something like that that I love and I like and I know about than experiment when we do have kids. So.
And that's one thing that I really like. That's because we don't have cable TV or even TV over the air.
Mm-hmm.
There's no you guys have heard us talk about this before. There's no surfing, no nothing or anything like that. It's all appointment viewing. And I like that. And that's one thing that we constantly talked about even before we got pregnant is that we don't want our kids to surf because we don't know what's out there. And also at the same time, we don't want them to just zone out.
Yeah.
We don't want them to just turn on the TV and waste time. Like if they're going to watch something, pick it,
you know, or we can pick it for them. Yeah, go
and
with that.
And so because we have Amazon Prime and Netflix and DVDs, we can somewhat control what they're exposed to, and they don't have to be exposed to the 50 billion toy commercials. And we can say, like, this is a wholesome show, so you're going to watch this show, or like you have access to this show. It's kind of like when I was growing up, like I had a radio, like I was really, 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 really young, and they gave me my first radio, and they said, okay, you can listen from 89.7 up to 94.5.
My family did that to me,
you
too.
Know,
that kind of thing. Like, this is a station you can listen to.
Yeah.
This one or this one.
And I was floored. I was like, oh my God, I can choose my stations. Oh no, I went up to 95.
Yeah, it's so true. Because that's what kids do.
Right.
You're going to go a little bit further.
Well, what are some other, I mean, we're going a little long on this one, but, and we're just barely talking our topic.
There's so many sitcoms.
There's so many sitcoms. It's so hard to talk about this. Don't worry, we're not going to do a part three on this.
No. One show that did progress with their characters was Boy Meets World, but we kind of talked about that last week of how I kind of liked it more in the younger years. And it was, you know, it was funny because, you know, Mr. Feeny follows them from every school that they go to. And they just like, kind of slightly change the hallways of the school, which was hilarious. But at least they did deal with the kids growing up and different issues, which was, you know, in a positive way, I think.
Absolutely.
We really liked Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Which we talked about.
We kind of touched on the fact that we liked Frasier.
We need to talk about Frasier.
Yeah, we need to talk about Frasier because I think that's one of my top for sure, right? Wouldn't you say for you too?
Yeah, it's when it was on the air, I knew it was good and we watched a lot of it and we always enjoyed it, but I didn't.
As a kid though, I don't think that I got as much.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was, is that you couldn't appreciate how truly great the writing and performances were.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't until I was an adult where it came on Netflix where we decided, hey, you know, like, our friends really like this show. They keep talking about it. So why don't we give it another shot? And it was 11 seasons. And it didn't slow down until, like, season 9.
Yeah. I mean, that is impressive.
And even then, it picked back up with season 10 and season 11.
It's so true. It had, like, maybe one weak season the entire time.
And even that weak season was okay.
It was. Yeah. You can still watch it and be totally happy. It's so true. I mean, that was such a solid... I cry like a little kid. Like, when that...
At the finale.
At the finale. I was just like... It was like a piece of my friends were like, I couldn't watch them anymore because I was done with that chapter.
And ever since it came on Netflix, we watched it twice.
We did.
11 seasons...
Twice.
...of sitcoms twice.
Yeah.
In a relatively short span of time. Yes.
When they had a lot of episodes per season.
Yes, it was not a 13-episode season.
No.
But Kelsey Grammer and David Hyde Pierce.
The ensemble.
A true ensemble.
Yes.
And especially, it's amazing when you especially find out all the horrible crap that Kelsey Grammer was putting himself through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he was, you know, he was an alcoholic. You know, he... You know, he was a high-functioning alcoholic, mm-hmm. but he had a lot of personal issues, a lot of marriage issues, just a lot of personal stuff behind the scenes. But they said that the moment that they said action, he was Frasier.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's even more impressive when you
think about that.
When you don't see any of that negativity come on screen.
No, no. Yeah, and I, you know, it's funny because you would think that format's very... It's very formulaic where, you know, he's got his radio show. It starts with his radio show, mm-hmm. you know, and then you have your whatever life situations going on. And, you
that
know,
mirror the radio
yeah,
show.
That mirror the radio show. But it was just, the writing was so strong and the relationships were so strong that, like we said, give it a shot if you have not watched it.
Do it.
It's so good. You will not be disappointed.
It's worth getting a Netflix subscription on its own.
For that, yeah. It's true.
You have think about it. You get 11 seasons of great entertainment.
Yeah, if they ever take it down, we have to buy them. Cause...
Yes, very much so. And like I want them to be remastered because they're not very good.
No.
The interlacing quality is weird. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's.
But still.
It's still great. It's still great.
Yeah.
So one, with Frasier in mind, I'm trying to think of that timetable. I'm not that big of a, like, Matt Hansen is a big Cheers fan and I'm not really that big of a Cheers fan. And so I was surprised that when Frasier came out, I was surprised that we liked Frasier. Like, my family did because we weren't Cheers watchers.
We weren't either.
But you know, to each his own. I'm not saying it's a bad show. It just wasn't really for us. What else was, you know, going on around that time where, like, when you think back to your favorites or growing up or not even growing up, like, what are some other favorites that you want to talk about?
I watched a lot of Nick at Night.
Yeah.
Growing up. Did you watch Nick at Night?
Yes. We should talk about Nick at Night. Yes. Thank you so much.
It was like a certain time. Well, Nickelodeon, you know, became Nick at Night.
For those of you who don't know what Nick at Night is, it was the late night Nickelodeon where they would show old black and white sitcoms.
Right. And I loved, it was like a treat. And it was usually, I was allowed to stay up just a little bit later if there was a certain show that my parents liked. Like if there was an I Love Lucy, I was probably going to be able to stay up maybe like a half an hour later just to watch that show. Also, like a Gilligan's Island, or what else was there on that?
Munsters and the Addams Family.
Oh, the Munsters and the Addams Family. That's right. Yeah, I was a bigger Addams Family fan than Munsters, but I feel like I saw more Munsters, which is funny.
I love them both. My grandfather, we didn't have cable for a very long time. Like, I was in high school when we got cable, and my grandfather had cable. And there was a TBS, it was when TBS was the TBS Superstation. And TBS had an Addams Family Marathon and a Munsters Marathon. And he taped every single episode for me and my mom.
Aww.
And we wore those tapes down, like on rainy days or sick days or anything like that. We would just pop in a tape and just let it go. We still have those tapes.
That's awesome.
Because I can't get rid of them. Even though we don't need them,
right.
I can't get rid of the tapes.
Sure.
And Munsters is on Netflix right now, mm-hmm. and I need to try to find Adam's Family. But it's just, that was, I think that was a show, that last episode I talked about how... you know, like Sports Night did a laugh track, even though it was a single camera.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, Munsters was kind of a single camera. Like, it was a single camera before there were single camera shows.
Really? Like, I don't remember that.
Think about how many times that they were on location outside the house.
That's true.
Think about how many times where, like, if you think about the setup of the Munsters, there was really no fourth wall.
That's true. That's true.
Like, it moved around within.
Yeah, you're and so right. I didn't think about it that way.
It was
way.
Like a one camera, a single camera with a laugh track, though. But because it's old and black and white.
You accept it.
You your brain you accepts
it. You accept it. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I really enjoyed those. I'm trying to think of what else was on Nick at Night.
Mork and Mindy.
Yeah, like the Dick Van Dyke Show.
That was a big one.
Mary
Tyler
one.
Moore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but all those we watched.
I feel like we're missing some.
I know. I feel like it's
I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah, I Dream of Jeannie. Oh, Bewitched.
Bewitched is a
we
big one.
We watched Bewitched a lot.
One was the Andy Griffith Show.
Mm-hmm.
Did your family ever watch that?
Yeah, I wasn't as into it, but
My family was really into the Andy Griffith Show, and so much so that my grandfather's bird can sing the Andy Griffith theme song. Not an exaggeration.
That's so funny.
It can sing the theme song.
See, that theme song would get stuck in my head, and then that was so annoying.
It was quite annoying.
I can't imagine it in bird form.
Oh, Laverne and Shirley is one. Yeah, absolutely. Now, one thing that we kind of forgot, but we have talked about a little bit because we talked about platonic pairings. We talked about 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, we did.
That's a big one for us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have a love-hate relationship with 30 Rock, where I guess it's kind of like That 70s Show, where it started so strong,
mm-hmm.
and like the first season is just bonkers on how good it is and how fantastic it is, just like That 70s Show. Every single episode is a classic in the first season, and then season two, season three is great, and then it just starts to get, it just goes way downhill.
Yeah.
I think... With That 70s Show, it was a gradual downhill. With 30 Rock, it was like they jumped off a peak.
Yeah, and then it just became super cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it maybe got a little bit better towards the end is what I remember, but not really.
Barely.
Yeah, it was, I mean, there were, the bar was kind of low at that point.
Yeah, it got embarrassing.
It did. Yeah, it didn't feel like the same show, or it felt like they were phoning it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I love the character of Jack Donaghy,
mm-hmm.
as played by Alec Baldwin. It's he's just so great. And Tina Fey is Tina Fey.
Of course, you know? Yeah.
So, you know, we've been going on for a while. I think we could keep going. And like I said, we're not going to do a part three.
No, we're not. I mean, we've just talked about sitcoms or, you know, the ones that we can remember and the ones we liked a lot, mm-hmm. and care about or have.
But one thing that you guys did that I didn't even really ask you guys to do, but I'm happy that you did and I want more of you to do it, is that you sent us some of your favorite sitcoms.
Yeah, that was really cool to see.
Yes, you guys sent us a list of things that you liked and things that you were raised on, and it was so similar to our list.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you guys want to take the time, we'd love to hear from you. So you can email us at contact@thenerdparty.com, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty, or you can find us on Twitter @joinnerdparty, or you can find me individually on Twitter @theinsanerobin. And one other thing that you can do is you can go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty and enter in the code nerdparty, and from there you can get a great geek subscription box. You can get $40 worth of material, like t-shirts, comic books, knickknacks, Pop Funkos, all this really cool stuff. We did an unboxing video that you can find on facebook.com/thenerdparty. But what you need to do is you'll get all of this $40 worth of material for less than $20, and you save even more money off of that by going to lootcrate.com/nerdparty. Now, one other thing that I need to talk about is we have new speaking of partners, we have new partners. And we have a news outlet that is now associates of ours, and it is called nerdsandbeyond.com. These people have a great website, and we started talking with each other, and they came to me and said, "We love your podcast." I came to them and said, "I love your news." Like, I go to it every day to check out what they say. And so now we're partners, and like, you can go to thenerdparty.com and find their news. And now you can go to nerdsandbeyond.com and find our podcast.
That's awesome.
And so we're going to grow together, and we're hosting each other's content. And it's you can find all of our stuff on either location. And everyone should check them out. Follow them on Twitter, nerdsandbeyond, at nerdsandbeyond. Bookmark their website in your browser at nerdsandbeyond.com. You guys will not be sorry. It's content that is quick and to the point. I love it. It's not overly flowery. They don't do clickbait ever. Nice. It's just, this is what happened. Here's the links that you need to know.
Awesome.
It's fantastic stuff. So everyone should check it out. But yeah, tell us about your favorite sitcoms. And like you said, there's so many that we haven't talked about. And one thing that I'd love to talk about in the future is our favorite animated shows.
Yeah, definitely. That's coming.
That's coming soon.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's coming next week, but it's coming soon.
I don't know.
Soon.
Well, yeah, we'll have to feel it out.
Also, it's been a little while since you guys have given us some topic suggestions.
Yeah, we'd love some topic suggestions.
We have a few in the bank that we're going to get to, but we'd love to hear more, and you can contact us in all the ways that we talked about before. So thank you guys for listening.
I love you.
I know.
Now the story of a wealthy family who lost everything and the one son who had no choice but to keep them all together. It's Arrested Development.